How you doing? This is Pastor Maxwell of Newbies Grove Baptist Church, and I wanted to invite you out to make sure you come worship with us. We do a lot of things for the community. We do the In Touch basketball program. We take care of the homeless. We teach leadership workshops. We teach real estate classes to make you ready to buy a home. We help you with building up your credit. We do a lot of different things here at Newbies Grove because our vision is to build kingdom-minded people to serve the community. Won't you come in and check us out? We love you. Hope to see you here.
Daniel 5, 1 through 12 read, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and the princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, and his joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed in scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astounded. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Basically, man up, dude. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy God and of the Father light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit in knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences and dissolving the doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation. Lord, ask for your power and grace to help me bring a word. Keep me in health. Keep my voice strong. Allow this word to bring conviction. Allow us to go to the next level in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, y'all, I went back old school. I went to MC Hammer on y'all. Can't touch this. I looked at your neighbor and say, can't touch this. Amen. In the present scripture, a new king sits upon the throne of Babylon, the ruler Belshazzar, a grandson of the great king Nebuchadnezzar and the son of Nabonidus, with whom he ruled for a number of years as the co-regent or the co-king. The chapter opens with King Belshazzar giving a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and their wives and concubines. Don't get too happy, men. Don't do that today. They had the wives and the side chicks and everybody at the party, all at the same table. Crazy party. Don't try it at home. This means there were probably over 2,000 people present for the event. As will be seen, they would be that very night, the great Babylonian Empire would fall to Persian, October the 12th, 539 BC. In the first four chapters of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was the king ruling over Babylon. Now, as we indicated, the scene was shifted, has shifted, and this will be the last ruler of Babylon, King Belshazzar. Under King Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon became the greatest empire ever known to man. But after his death in 562 BC, the empire began to rapidly deteriorate. Belshazzar ruled as co-regent with his father, Nabonidus. I'm just killing his name. Let's start with the end, though. From about 553 to 539 BC. Note that the scripture refers to him as the son of Nebuchadnezzar when he is actually the grandson of the great king. In ancient history, the word father is often used to refer to a male ancestor, regardless of the generation. As mentioned, this would be the very night of Babylonians' fall. This is the story that gives us the well-known phrase, the handwriting is on the wall, which announces imminent judgment. Although most people know nothing about Belshazzar's great feast, many are familiar with the phrase. Belshazzar's feast and the handwriting on the wall is a picture of the coming judgment on the defiant and the pleasure seekers. I'm just going to break down the chapter for you. Verses 1 through 4 in chapter 5, the drunken, immoral banquet takes place, a picture of immorality, irreverence, and adultery. Verses 5 through 16, the sudden and alarming handwriting on the wall, a picture of the world's guilty fear, helplessness, and hopelessness. Verses 17 to 31 depicts the courageous explanation of the handwriting by Daniel and the pronouncement of the king's doom, the end of his wicked reign. Let's get into the story. Belshazzar hosted a huge banquet for the nobles of Babylon, a banquet that turned into an immoral and blasphemous orgy. Over 1,000 of the king's nobles and their wives and concubines attended the banquet. Ancient rulers were known for hosting lavish banquets to display the wealth, power, and the glory of their kingdom. Interestingly, the king held this large feast while the enemy, the Persian army, was camped outside the city gates laying siege to Babylon. Imagine such boldness. The leaders of Babylon must have felt that the city was impregnable because of its massive walls, lookout towers, and bronze gates. Also, the city appeared to be totally self-sustaining, for the Euphrates River ran through the city to provide water, and there was enough food and supplies stored up to last many years. Feeling perfectly secure, Belshazzar planned this banquet to stir the morale of his people to face the daily assault of the Persians against the walls and the gates of the city. Soon after everyone arrived, both the king and the guests began to engage in wicked and defiant behavior. Not only were their wives present for the banquet, but again, the concubines were there as well. With wine flowing freely and everyone gratifying the lust of their flesh, the party quickly degenerated. At some point during the festivities, the king thought of a way to show the superiority of the Babylonians, so-called gods, over those other nations. He ordered his servants to bring the gold and silver cups of Nebuchadnezzar that he had plundered from the temple of Jerusalem. By drinking from these trophies of war, the nobles would be reminded that their so-called gods had always made the Babylonian Empire victorious. Remembering this fact would help encourage the nobles in the face of the Persian siege of the city. But Belshazzar overlooked the fact that these particular cups were the sacred vessels of the Lord, the living and true God. They were holy, set apart for the use of the Lord and his service alone. Thus, when the king and his guests began to drink from the holy cups, they were committing blasphemous acts against the Lord. They were profaning the very name of God. They even toasted their false gods while they drank from the sacred cups dedicated to the Lord. Belshazzar and his nobles were guilty of three very serious acts of wickedness: drunkenness and immorality, blasphemy against the Lord, and idolatry. Look at this, though. God let all their sins ride until they touched the sacred vessels. Oh, y'all miss me. I got to talk like Jay Walden right now. You miss your place to shout right there. He didn't do anything until they touched the sacred vessels. See, you're not shouting because you don't realize that you are an earthen vessel set aside and sacred for God. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, the funny thing about it is some of us are going through some stuff and don't even know we're going through it. And some people at your job so mad because God has you so covered, you don't even know you're under attack. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? The shadow of death, which means you don't even know what's going on. See, this is the amazing thing about God. God spoke the stars into existence, and we don't even understand the stars. And he spoke the earth and the different moons and other planets into existence. But the funny thing about it is, when I was in school, Pluto was a planet. Now they don't know what it is. He spoke light into existence, and we don't know if it's light, it's particles or waves and particles. He spoke seeds into existence. They still are amazed by the act of photosynthesis, and they still can't quite understand it. The earth sits on its axis, tilted at a certain degree for winter, and then tilts at another degree for summer. It's amazing how he spoke it into existence. The world is not too close to the sun that we burn up, but not too far away that we freeze. It's amazing that even though we're in North America, we're standing sideways, which means the centrifugal force of the world that spins 18 and a half miles per every second is spinning fast enough so we won't slide off the earth, but not so fast that we cast into the stratosphere. He spoke all these things into existence, and he could have spoke you into existence, but instead he walked out of glory, stooped down and made it personal, formed you with his hands, and blew the ruach, or the breath of life of himself in you. And after he made you, he rested. How in the world are you at your job worrying about somebody in the next cubicle when you're fearfully and wonderfully made? When God has made you in his image, stop inboxing me whining about what's going on at your job, and man and woman up and understand that you are son and daughter of the King. I'm tired of punk Christians. Tired. God made you in his own image, and on the seventh day he rested because you took so much energy and you worried about some uncircumcised Philistines coming against you. You worried about some boss coming against you. How dare you? I don't even worry about a supervisor coming against me. Some of y'all worried about people on the same level that you on. I'd be dead gone. I want to cuss at you right now. I'd be dead gone if I sit up in here and let somebody on the same level as me drive me away from my job when God formed me by hand. He formed you. He said, this personal. God said, do all the hell you want to do. See, God chastised those who he loves. He don't chastise folk outside until they touch you. Yeah, y'all see. See, God said, have your orgies. Have your Jack Daniels. Get drunk as you want. Have as many women you want. Do whatever it is you want to do. But when they touched the sacred vessel of God, and when you really begin to understand who you are and understand that you're an earthen vessel made by God, you'll understand that so many people at your job done touch folk all the time, in your family done touch folk at your church, but some reason when they came and touched you, God said, I'm going to write. See, y'all, some people call me arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I just have confidence in God. And I know if you mess with me, God gonna deal with you. I know they say God is good all the time. God is good. That ain't not one Bible I ever read before. There's some old school saints that tell you all the time. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you come against one of God's children, he'll show you he ain't good all the time. He'll be, oh, y'all don't hear me. You the child of the King, and you crying in my inbox talking about how messed up your life is, and God that made you fearfully and wonderfully. He gave you a good measure of blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You the head and not the tail, the above and not beneath, the linen and not the borrow. How dare you keep whining to me every daggone week as if that you don't have the power. I need to talk to you like Paul talked to Timothy. I need you to man up and understand that God did not give you a spirit of timidness, but a power and of a sound mind. Walking around here broke, busted, and disgusted, and you the child of the King. I'm tired of looking at broke Christians too. Tired. You're supposed to be the lender, not the bar, the above and not beneath. You walking around here walking this defeated life because you... Let me just read my sermon. God suddenly put an end to the wicked revelry Without warning, the fingers of a human hand appeared out of nowhere and began writing on the wall of the banquet hall. Scripture describes the startling scene. It was at that very moment of the king's drunken blasphemy that the fingers of a human hand appeared, stunned the king. Watch as the fingers began to write a message on the plaster wall near the lampstand. The mood of the event quickly became somber. And a crippling fear gripped the king and the guests. Merriment and carousing ceased. Dancing stopped. Servers and attendants halted in their tracks. The musicians silenced their instruments. An eerie silence slowly swept through the hall as everyone watched the hand write four brief words on the wall. Sensing some ominous message, the king's face turned pale and terror seized his soul. I wish you could have been there when his knees began to knock, so much that his legs gave way and he collapsed on the floor. The text says his loins were weakened. Come on, somebody, he peed on himself. Come on, somebody, when you begin to touch people of God, God will begin to do some stuff to some people to put the fear of God. Yeah, see, you don't know who you are. He touched everything in the house. He had the women. He had his wives and his concubines. He had everything. He was chilling. He had anything he wanted to do evil. But the minute he touched the sacred vessel of God, do you know some people at your job terrified of you and you don't even know what's going on because you're so oblivious to what God is doing? Every time they try to set a trap on you, something happens to them. Do you understand that God never promised you that a weapon would not be formed? But he did promise you that the weapon would not prosper. I need you to start walking in the power and the kingship and queenship that God has ordained you to walk in. Stop walking around here defeated and mealy-mouthed and See, people think I be preaching about myself when I'm preaching about hate. I'm preaching for you. I don't understand why people have to inbox me. I'm preaching about life all the time because I'm going to bring the wordness of the text to the isness of what's going on now. And you need to understand that you are a sacred vessel set aside for God. And when anybody interferes with your life, God intervenes. God said it's better to tie anchor around your neck than to touch one of my own. He said it's better to cast yourself in the fire than to touch my anointing. You got to begin to start walking around here knowing who you are, girl. Where you at, bro? Man up. You fearfully and wonderfully made. You will be victorious. The text, he touched the sacred vessels. As soon as he was able, the king screamed out and summoned his occult advisor to come interpret the handwriting. When the advisors arrived, Belshazzar promised them both wealth and political rank. He said it was going to be met, but they couldn't interpret it. But his mama came and said, look here, dude, man up. You can't not look like a king. Can I talk to you the way his mama talked to him, but talked to you in God? But see, she was saying, look, you the king, you need to man up. But see, you need to understand, you the son or daughter of the king, you need to man and woman up and understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You need to understand that you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the linen and not the borrower. Can you understand that right now? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you understand that you the child of the king? I need you to man up at your job. I need you to woman up in your job. Donald Trump can't stop you. The Republicans can't stop you. Democrats can't stop you. Blackface can't stop you. Racism can't stop you. Police brutality can't stop you. Nothing can stop you when you're a child of the king. You know what you need to do when you start going to your job so they won't know what you're talking about? Just start. Folks get on your nerves. Yeah. Get on my. You ain't got to say it out loud. Just. They might think you crazy, but. Keep on messing with me because God going to start writing on this wall in a minute. I know I'm in a cubicle right now, but I'm about to have the front office if you keep messing with me. You know what's wrong with church folk? We too grown. Remember back in the day, somebody remembered you, I'm going to tell my mama, I'm going to tell my daddy. You ain't got to tell people your job, but you better go tell your daddy the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I tell him in a minute. See, when I be talking about some, ooh, don't mess with me, I don't be saying I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to go to God. I'm a snitch. You call me to do this, God, and they keep messing with me. God be like, y'all don't hear me. He screamed out and called them, but they couldn't interpret it. Ain't it amazing how even though you think people don't notice who you are, they do notice you. They just don't give you credit till they need you. Yeah, fear me a little bit. I fear you. Yeah. He has been tucked away for 20 years. Daniel about 80 years old. Now they need him. And see, they said he got the strength of the gods. And see, sometimes God will let you smell like some folk even though your anointing ain't theirs. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, you wonder how Moses kept walking in there talking about let my people go. Oh, not today. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow. Oh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Oh no. Oh, sad. No, it's like, let my people go. Because he had enough Egypt on him, he smelled like them. See, one day your misery will become your ministry. See, everybody can't go to the hood and walk in and walk out because you want to go there with your Bugatti. You want to go there with your Benz. You want to go there with your Taylor suit on. You need to know somebody that can go in there with some Torb jeans every now and then and smell. Yeah. They called Daniel and they said he do what the gods do. He got this power, but it wasn't there. See, God will let them think that you doing the same thing they doing, and you just do it better than them. But no, it's just him, the one that's anointing you. Now, I know I done told this story before to some of the members, but y'all first time visitors, y'all don't you mess up my story. I'm going to tell this story again. You're going to act like you just heard it for the first time. When I was a young man, I was student teaching, and when I first met this lady, when I first walked in the building, Brother Lewis, she said, you ain't going to pass. Didn't say, hey. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You ain't going to pass. Okay. Doing my student teaching, like, wow, that's very rude of you, but, you know. I'm riding in there. So one day, I go in the classroom because I forgot something. I see her grabbing my stuff like she's trying to hide my notes. So I had to start taking my notes home. And so I got to the point where I would get to the point like some of y'all that inbox me now. So I'm going to go on and show y'all how I used to be like y'all. And I get to the point I couldn't handle it. Oh, God, I can't handle it no more. I'd be crying on the way. But think about it. I knew how powerful God was. I would ride to student teaching to Kirk Franklin. I'd ride back home to Tupac, so I still had the duality going on. But I knew who my Savior was on the way to my little hell hole, but I got it on the way home. But anyway, the thing about it was, every time I get to the point I couldn't handle it, I'd be crying. But every time I got to the point I couldn't handle it, she had a car accident. She had 3 car accidents in 12 weeks. That when you had quarters back in the day. I ain't but 25, well, 3 years ago. So every time, and she came in, she had a cast on her leg, and she walked in, and she said, you're going to pass. And the thing about it was, she looked at me like I had put witchcraft on her. But I didn't put witchcraft on her. That was God saying, touch not my anointed. I got your back. You touched a whole bunch of other student teachers, but you can't touch him. The thing about it was, even though people didn't know I was a church person, they knew something was on me differently. So one day I called. I'm talking about, I'm crying. I don't care. Talk about me, I'm going to take karate from Claymore and beat you up. Talk about me. But the thing about it was, I called her and I was like, I couldn't handle it. And she said, don't worry, you're going to pass. I said, how you know? She said, because we already knew you already gifted. We already know. We weren't going to go by nothing she said because she's crazy. They told me that. They said the only reason we got her is because we had 21 student teachers, but we only had 21 supervisors. So we said, we know Maxwell can handle it, so we're going to give him to her. They already knew that I was going to be Victoria. Now, I did say a few words that went hallelujah to them over the phone because I'm like, how in heaven are you going to let me go through all this and not tell me what's going on? Why? Because people notice your anointing. People are jealous of your anointing. People are envious of your anointing. People have taken notice of you. They already see you powerful. Some people see you powerful and they try to be on your team. Some people see you powerful, they want to hate on you. Some people see you powerful, they want you to go higher. Some people try to pull you down. But all you need to know is that the anointing of God that's on your life that causes people to notice you, even when they don't go to church, they know something is different about you. They know that you have... I think I'm hyped this sermon. I think I was calm at 8 o'clock. I don't know what's going on. But all I need you to know is this. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God let a whole bunch of stuff pass with everybody else. But when they touch you, and the funny thing about it, some of y'all don't even know somebody touching you. It's just that God is handling what's going on. Ooh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Thank you. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Some folks so mad at you, you don't even know they mad at you. Because you held and God is hiding you in his secret place. See, they can't even see you sometimes. He hides you in his secret place. They can't touch you. Every time they set a gallows for you, just like Haman did for Mordecai, it ends up falling on them. And they wondering why they can't get rid of you. That lady tried a whole bunch of stuff with a lot of different people, but now she got somebody that know God. And I wonder if I would have listened to Kurt Franklin on the way down and back, if it would have just happened to happen a little quicker. But you know, some of us, our battles a little longer because we got that duality going on in our life. And God got to chastise us. See, do you know some of us going to be in court because we done lied on the devil a whole bunch of times? The devil in hell crying, that wasn't even me this time. Because sometimes that rod and that staff is not for your enemies. It's for you. If you ever seen a shepherd's staff, it'll have a hook on the end. And sometimes it's the poke, the bears and the lions. But sometimes that hook is to grab the neck of the sheep. And I think it'll hurt a little worse if you yank me by my neck than if you poke me. See, the devil poke you. But every now and then, God will yank you and give you whiplash to get yourself back in line. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? God knows just how to gut punch you to get you. See, you got to stop trying to function on yesterday, on today with yesterday's word. See, this is why he got mad at Moses. Moses struck the rock one time to bring water because God told him to. The next week he got mad and struck the rock again instead of speaking to the rock like God said. And God said, you're not going to the promised land because you keep trying to function on today's time with yesterday's word. Some of us are stuck in yesterday's word. God, when I first got here, he kept telling me to help all the different preachers and help all the different organizations. And people were getting mad at me and say, why are you helping them? They taking the credit and you helping them because God told me to. Then God told me to stop doing it, but I kept doing it because I was like, maybe I didn't hear God right. But then God gave me something they never had before, the flu. Woo! I don't never get a shot because I ain't never had it. I might get a shot next year, I don't know. I was laid out. Why? Because God said, I will make you lay down in green pasture. Can you read your Bible? And Psalm 23 said, I make you lay down. And see, the funny thing about green pasture, Sister Madison, is this. That means ain't no cow been on it yet. Because if it's green, that means what? Nobody been on it. But if a cow been on it or somebody been grazing in it, it's going to be some brown spot somewhere. So God is saying, if you won't lay down, if you that dumb and won't lay down, I make you lay down in green pasture. I make you lay down in your blessing. God said, lay down and shut up and listen to what I got to say. Stop helping all them people that ain't helping you no more. I told you to help them in the beginning, but I done told you to sit yourself down. And I was like, yes, sir, master, I ain't going to do nothing no more. I sure ain't gonna help them no more, Lord. I'm gonna sit right here and teach my church on Sunday and Tuesday. Yes, sir, boss. I sure is done with that. You feel me? He'll make you lay down and get your attention. I knew not to blame the devil. See, when you have a relationship with God, you know when God is on you and you know when the devil is on you. And God was on me. I was like, this scientific is confusing me. My temperature is 103 and I'm freezing. Jesus, help me, Lord. They went and got Daniel because they understood that that was a problem that only he could solve. There's a calling that's meant for you. And the same way that you have unique fingerprints, you have a unique calling that nobody else can fulfill. That's why you need to stop being jealous of anybody, because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has a purpose distinctly designed for your fingerprints. Nobody can do what you designed to do. Nobody could interpret a dream. They had to go get Daniel out of retirement. And he said, I'm going to give you all this money. I'm going to give you the signet ring. I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to put you second in charge only to the king. Daniel said, keep your stuff. I don't need it. Because what I'm about to tell you is going to be some bad news. Don't worry about it, because I don't want you to think you're giving me anything. So I'm going to take the dream free of charge. I'm going to take the truth. And can you imagine this? He went before the king and told the king, you're going to die today. Oh, see, back then they'd kill you if you brought them some bad news, but Daniel didn't care. You know what's wrong with the church? We lost our saltiness. We always want to be politically correct. We always want to make everybody happy. See, this is the whole thing. Anytime you say something about something that is sin, people get mad at you because they say it's a sickness, it's a disease, and you are hating on people. If you talk about homosexuality, I ain't talking about it all the time, but it's a sin. And people try to say it's a sickness. No, it's a sin. But nobody want to tell the truth because they scared the government going to come in and try to do something to their church. Let the government come. Because at the end of the day, you can only speak the truth. And the funny thing about it, even though Daniel told him the truth and told him you're going to die, the king still blessed him. You got to understand that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous if you walking in boldness. Can I talk to some preachers for 1 second? Stop walking around here trying to please everybody and say some sermons that'll tickle their ear. Stop giving them peach pies and bubble gum and beach nuts and Snicker bar sermons. You need some black-eyed peas and some collard greens. You need something that's going to keep you together. How in the world am I going to come home to my wife and she had an aneurysm, or my husband is tipping out on me and I ain't heard a real word from God? All I got is some junk food. I need a word that's going to sustain me. The world is tired of hearing these jellyback preachers. Get mad, I don't care. The problem is we act like the Old Testament and the New Testament don't go together. Everything in the Bible goes together line upon line and precept upon precept. We just want to come get this God. We think nice God to still kill folk today. And the thing about this, the problem with the church is we have evangelicals and other preachers that get up here and want to put America first and not the kingdom first. You want to put America first and not God first. Jesus said, the only way you can get to heaven is through me. I ain't trying to disrespect nobody, but I'm telling you straight up. Jesus said, the only way you can get to the Father is through me. And some of y'all that don't believe in Jesus, you need to have a phone with some cows and some goats somewhere, because you need to be making a sacrifice because you sin just like me. They don't want to hear that. I'm gonna roll it back, but you're trying to be too politically correct. Daniel said what it was. And truth be told, God said, you loved me and you clothed me when I was naked. You gave me food when I was hungry. And they said, when did we do this, Lord? When you did it to the least of these. But then God turned to the other side and said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. And they said, when did you do this? He said, when did we do this? When you did it to the least. He told one of the people, come here and be in paradise. And he told the other folk to go to hell. So can I talk to America for 1 second? You got to look at Daniel and understand this. The men and women of God have to take the truth. And when you begin to put America before God, that's your first mistake. Seek ye first the and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Anyway, let me go. He began to read the king. He told him about how you didn't follow in the footsteps of your father, your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He said when he humbled him because God, he thought he had it all together. He thought he was the master of everything. And so God said, you know what? I'm going to humble you and show you I'm the man and not you. When he humbled himself, God restored him. But you walking around in the same wicked way he is. I wish you could have been there and looked at his face. He pretty much said, he said what it said. He said, many, many, tikel paris. The word many means to be numbered or counted or measured. God had numbered the day. This is about verse 24. He numbered the days of the kingdom and said, your day is here. He said, many, many, twice. Basically, your time is up. And the crazy thing about it is this one, a warning. See, I like getting warnings from God. I just don't like getting a rebuke. A warning is okay, but this was judgment. He was saying, your time is up. Can you imagine going before the king and telling him he gonna die today? I'm sure you hope he die, or you gonna be a false prophet. But that's what he did. Then he came back and said the word tickle. Tekel means, and he had, because the writing was on the wall, Belshazzar had been weighed and found wanting. He had been weighed against the righteousness of God and found to be totally deficient. The king had completely ignored the Lord and his holy commandments and had chosen instead to live a fleshy, covetous, and prideful life that glorified idols and dishonored God. He had chosen to pursue the fleshy pleasures of that dishonored God and had a greedy spirit and of this world and arrogantly defiled the Lord himself. He told him straight up. Can I tell y'all something that I shouldn't have listened to, but I'm going to confess? Because I'm just nosy, and every now and then I got to know what's going on. And, you know, T.I. got mad at Mayweather. You know, he was already mad at Mayweather because he think Mayweather had some milk and cookies with his wife, but this one about that. T.I. was mad because he felt like Mayweather is only using his wealth to glorify himself and not helping anybody else. So he made this song. It ain't no gospel song, so don't go listen to it. And he began to talk about how greedy he was because he began to come against T.I. when he talked about Gucci because of the blackface and because he may well get money for Gucci. He was taking up for Gucci. And so T.I. kind of went off and said, look here, dude, you out of order because you worried about wealth more than you worried about people. You know what upsets me, Deacon Spales? What upsets me is this. Rappers and singers and football players and athletes speak out more than the church. When the church gonna start telling the truth and being salty? Do you know this says the church ain't worth nothing if it loses its saltiness? You know salt will let you know it's there. If salt get in your eyes, it's going to burn. If salt get in your cut, it's going to burn. Salt going to let you know it's there. And because of the deafening silence of the church, because we're worried about losing tax-exempt status, we're worried about the government interfering with us and putting us on Facebook trying to say we hating folk, at the end of the day, we have lost our saltiness. And we are no earthly good. But our wealth is not for ourselves. That's why God came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Can I talk to you before I go to the next judgment? I'm tired of broke Christians. If you broke, I ain't tired of you. I'm tired of you being broke, is what I'm trying to say. God came to give you life and to give it to you what? More abundantly. God wants you to be blessed. He said, I bless you for what? My name's sake. He said, I bless you for his name's sake, the Lord. He bless you because he wants you to look good. Yes, some of y'all driving cars and the only thing holding together is the Christian bumper stickers. I need you to be blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I ain't even trying to preach right now. I got to talk to y'all about this. This broke spirit, I can't handle it. I can't. Because you're supposed to be the head and not the tail, above my and beneath, but the lender not the bar. You're supposed to be blessed in the valley and blessed in the field, blessed when you're coming and blessed when you're going. Yet there's so many of us so blessed and defeated. Remember Ross Perot? Some of y'all know. He ran for president. Some of y'all know folk. Ross Perot didn't make no sense when he talked. No sense, but he had money. And money does what? Magnifies your voice. I don't care how dumb you are. If you got money, they'll put you on TV. Because he had money. God still blessed Daniel with the riches that the king promised him. He still got blessed by the king. Ain't it crazy? See, y'all got to understand, God will make the same thing you trying to reform bless you. In touch. We're dealing with police brutality. Guess who paid for it? The police. That's crazy, right? I'm kind of telling you, you the problem, but you... Because if you be real and speak what God tells you to speak, he's going to make sure that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. See, y'all don't hear that because you want to be fake and you want to be politically correct. But you know, people respect you when you tell them what you feel. When you tell them what God really is saying, God wants you to be blessed to magnify your voice. He wants you to be blessed so people can listen to you. He wanted you to be blessed so you can be a blessing to somebody else. The money is not just for you to buy another car, another Benz, another house, a bigger ring, more clothes. Yes, you might buy some of that stuff, but it's for you to make sure that you're blessing people around the world. God wants you to be blessed because he wants to make you a blessing. Anyway, let me hurry up and get out of here. It's 12:40. Hold on. The word Paris, and it was another word, but then in the second verse they used this one, so this is the one I exegeted. Belshazzar's kingdom was now to be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The king felt that Babylon was so secure because of the massive walls and the stores and the food and all this. What are you putting your faith in? You know the same thing you put your faith in God to take away from you? You know why some of y'all be losing a man and a woman all the time? Because you put your faith in that man and that woman more than you put in God. And God said, you would not have any other God before me. I don't care if it's football, basketball, Betty Crocker. I don't care if it's your car, your house, your wife, your husband, whatever you put before me. God said, I take it from you because ain't nobody going to take my glory. If you're going to love this blessing more than me, I'm not going to bless you at all. You got to love the gift giver more than you love the gift. Anyway, Daniel's interpreted the handwriting on the wall. And normally I said they would kill you. But they didn't kill him. Why? Because he told the truth and God had him covered. Now the heat, I'm sure they ain't write all of it. I'm sure the mama was like, what you say to my son? Come on, somebody. You know she said something. It ain't in the text. But they say they couldn't write everything in there. But I need you to be there. I wish you could have been there when they were acting a fool. You want us to kill him, king? No. No, y'all didn't know how to interpret it. Because God will even make your enemy your footstool. He was being covered by the very man that he gave the bad news to. He was at least like, at least I know I know. It's good to know the day you're going to die. Repent and be baptized that day. He lost it. This is the day, and I'm going to sit down. The day is coming when every one of us will see God's handwriting on the wall. On that day, we will stand before the Lord and face his judgment. That day may not be far away for some of us. We don't know when we're going to die. Some of us think we're younger than somebody else, but if we die 2 days from now, we old. And as shocking as it sounds, a number of us are looking death square in the face right now and don't even know it. And after death, the judgment of God in Hebrews 9:27, as it says, the question each of us need to ask is this. When God weighs me in the balance, will I be found wanting? The only people who can measure up to God's standard are those who have placed their faith in Christ. Any who have not trusted Christ as their personal Savior will be found lacking and deficient. They will be rejected by the Lord because the Lord said, if you ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. But if you confess me before men and let people know that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'll make sure that I go before you for my Father, in front of my Father. They will be rejected by the Lord. See, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit and stop trying to listen to Google. Sometimes Google got stuff wrong. Because sometimes you look up the NFL thing and they say the biggest Super Bowl win, and they had San Francisco when they played the Broncos, but it's not San Francisco. It was the Washington Redskins when the black quarterback beat Elway. But they'll have it on there wrong sometimes, just so you won't know. And sometimes there's a whole bunch of garbage out there. But this is what I need you to know. You cannot get to the Father except through Jesus. I know they be having all these different pathways. That's why I tell y'all to be careful when you go to seminary. Seminary will kill you. It'll give you all these different types of theology. It'll tell you all these different things. But this is what I need you to understand. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. Because that's what he said. I got friends who are in different religions and stuff, but we don't agree. We don't see eye to eye on that, but I don't judge them. But I just tell them I hope they see the truth, because that's what I believe. Because that's what Jesus said. This is the whole thing. If most of us believe in the Old Testament and we believe that we should be making sacrifices, and when we sinned back then, that means you should make sacrifices now. Peter should be at your house every day fussing because you didn't kill some goat, some cow, some sheep. Why? Because you have to make a sacrifice to atone for your sins. But Jesus is your atonement. Even though you sin and fall short of the glory of God, even though you fall short, he still would take care of you, because he said, I went to the cross just for you. If I took the time to form you with my own hands and breathe the ruach, my spirit in you, if I put so much of myself in you that I had to take a break, why do you think I want you to go to hell? I don't. The wages of sin is death, but I gave you Christ to redeem you, to reconcile you back to me. Even when Satan accuses you and try to tell me that you're a sinner, if you're covered with the blood of Jesus, you all right. But can I tell you this? I know a lot of times we always go to the cross and he rose on the third day. Stayed in the grave all day Friday. Stayed in the grave all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning. And that's good. But when he got up, what did he give me? He gave me the power of the Holy Ghost. And that means I can do greater exploits in his name. Your enemy has nothing on you. Your enemy can't touch you on your job. Your enemy can't have your son. Your enemy can't have your daughter. The enemy can't have your wife. The enemy can't have your husband if you walk in the bold power of Jesus. Jesus is God's only begotten son, the firstborn son. He's the only begotten one that he naturally put. But you are a son and a daughter. God has many sons and daughters. You're not a slave. You're a son and daughter of the King. And the same way a little boy will walk into the CEO office if his dad, the CEO, is the same way you need to begin to walk to the throne of grace. And say, you know what? Some people at my job bothering me. Some people in the streets bothering me. Some people in the streets bothering my child. They say this and they say that. But I'm going to walk in the boldness of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I need you to put the handwriting on the wall. Lord, I need you to cover the saints in the name of Jesus. I need you to teach them how to walk in power. I need you to teach them how to walk in your glory and majesty. I need you to teach them how to walk in grace and mercy. Lord, cover us in the name of Jesus. Take us from one level of glory to the next. But Lord, those who don't understand what I'm talking about, because they've not forged a relationship with you, right now show them that the only way that they can be saved is through you. As the football player said, Obama can't save you. Clinton can't save you. Trump can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And when you begin to know who you are and know that you're a son and daughter of the King, you won't cry when you get under attack. You will just raise up holy hands, grab your little bib, and say, the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, you will start welcoming your enemies. Now, don't go look for them. They're coming. But when you understand the precursor to your blessing is to have some enemies at your table. Y'all don't hear me. He prepares a place for you in the presence of your enemies. Why? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to exegete this text for you. We say it all the time. Because he don't touch your enemies or people that don't believe in Jesus until they touch you. So until they touch you, he has no reason to write on the wall. Until they come against you, he has no reason to judge them. He let Belshazzar do whatever he wanted the whole time until he touched the sacred vessel. Look at yourself. Don't even look at your neighbor. I guess you had to look at yourself with a phone or something. But if you can look at yourself, something wrong with this. Say to yourself, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a sacred vessel of God. And the enemy can't touch this. He can't touch you. You got to be like David and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that come against the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised person in the cubicle next to me that want to come against me? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Back to my invitation. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That want to be able to walk in the power I'm talking about? That want to be able to tread on serpents? That want to be able to walk in healing? Is there one? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Hello, I'm Pastor Willard Maxwell of New Beach Grove, and I just wanted to let you know, I believe that God is speaking directly to us through this ministry, and I believe that there may be some messages that you've missed that are life-changing for you, and you need to take the time to order, or maybe there's some message that you heard that you know a friend or a co-worker or a family member, even an enemy's life may be changed. And let me tell you this, in the Bible it says, don't stack up treasures here on earth that the moth will eat or the water will wash away. It says stack up your treasures in heaven where they will last for eternity. John says, in my Father's house there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What I'm telling you is this: the way you stack up your crown and build your mansions in heaven is when you give a life-changing word to someone or share salvation. You don't have to be the one bringing the word. You can just buy the word and send it to someone, and you're stacking up treasures in heaven. I'm believing that you're going to make the right decision, and you're going to get this series or get a CD or get a DVD for somebody. It's going to be life-changing, and instead of building up treasures here on earth, you're going to take the time to build up the treasures in eternity where you will live with your Father forever. Be blessed.